just pray together for just a moment. Father in heaven, again, the moment has come that we would gather in the sacred place and pay close attention to what you are now going to say to us. You speak to the church, Lord, you're speaking to me. When you tell us these wonderful things that rise from the scripture, you're leading and guiding me. When I hear your voice, I'm drawn to it. Nothing else seems to matter. I want to hear from you. I've come through some things this week. I've had to deal with some things, fought my way through. I pressed harder. I prayed more fervently. But I knew, Lord, if you would be kind to me, I could see again Sunday morning. The book would be opened. The words would come alive for me. I need a word. I need your instruction. I need that discipline. I need your governance. God, order my steps, but also, Lord, massage my mind. Soften my heart. Take the stiffness out of me. Have your way. And God, I realize now that I have so much to do with that, because my resistance, my refusal, my denial hinders me. And so, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Help us, Lord, for we need your help. We were told that you were very present help, and so we declare that you must come closer now. As you draw near unto us, we will draw near unto you. And Lord, help me, the preacher, that I might stand before the people, offer them hope. Encourage them in their warfare. And let them know that though they are wounded because of battle, because of altercation and conflict, because of the adversary, though they are wounded, they shall be healed. Recovery will come. It will get better. It won't always be like this. And they'll have a testimony. One that is sure, sound. For they will be able to tell their neighbor, their children, and their friends, and even the stranger, I did not do it alone. God did it. God did it. Now, Lord, again, forgive us of our sins and have mercy. For it is in Jesus' name we do pray. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen, 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 and amen. Put your blessed hands together. Come on and celebrate God. Celebrate God. After all that you've been through, look at you now. After all that you cried about, look at you now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles in the book of Acts chapter 4. We'll be along quickly. Acts chapter 4. Amen. In the New Testament of the Bible, as soon as you pass John's book, you are there. turn on your devices, tablets, smartphones, and instruments. What a wonderful sight it is when the people of God have their word in their hand. Amen. Amen. When I was in the military, before we went on deployment or training exercises, we would troop the line. We would make sure that all of the soldiers had their equipment uniformly. Everybody had a rifle and magazines and all of those things that were necessary. You'd be amazed that as often as we did it, every time we checked the line, we'd find that somebody didn't have something.
Well,
and we'd have to say, wait a minute, hold on now. As Grandma said, you can't go off half-cocked. So we'd have to go back and get something here and get something there. But I noticed today that just about every hand is occupied. We have our word.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 4. That's one verse today, and I'll move along as quickly as the Holy Spirit will allow. At verse 12, if you will, please. Acts chapter 4 at verse 12. And I have a New Living Translation, and this is what the word says. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name in all of heaven for people to call on to save them. God bless you. You may be seated. As you take your seat, don't close your Bible. Don't power down your device. Keep it on. I'd rather it time out than you tune out. But look at your neighbor and smile at him first. I did it backwards. I should have told you to smile first. Amen. Smile, then look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor's going to preach a simple solution to solve the struggle. Simple solution. Solve the struggle. There is probably a very common thread that is woven intricately as well as somewhat painfully into the life of that which is known as the human fabric. Truth of the matter is, our grandmothers were right. It's always something. And I didn't say something. Said it like y'all say it. Something. All of us have things that happen to us, and all of us have things that cause us to even question our own sanity. How many of you have ever said to yourself, I must be losing my mind? How many of you have ever said to yourself, I must have been crazy? How many of you have ever said to yourself, what was I thinking? What came over me? What possessed me to do that? And so it is. There's always something. And with those somethings, seemingly, it always comes with a struggle. My grandmother used to tell us, Sister Laura, it don't take much to get into trouble. Take a whole lot to get out.
Yeah.
Grandma would say to us this as well. So Scott, y'all do this to yourself. You brought it on yourself. Well, I thought about that when I got to Acts chapter 4. My intentions were to go beyond and to read and find something quite energetic and quite, if you will, enriching as we're getting toward revival and stuff. But I got stuck at verse 12. I'd read about two chapters. I started with that Pentecost event and looked at what that meant to see thousands of people. Can you imagine that we open our doors on next Sunday and folk of all languages and all ethnicities come and share with us, and at the reading of the Word of God, they all say, what must I do? to be saved.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I told Deacon McKenzie this morning, I've done about 7 revivals in the last few weeks. I've been going and going and going, and I told him that the oddest thing has happened in those revivals. No one came. No one. People came to church. Churches were filled. But at the invitation, not one revival in 7 weeks of revival has one person come down the aisle in any church and said, "I surrender." In fact, the strange thing, says Scott, is that even though no one came to even ask of the Lord's salvation, no one came to pray. There was a time when we did the invitation and folk would come up and say, "Well, I just need prayer, I need help." Nobody's asking for help anymore.
Well,
if I had not said, "Come, let us pray," they would not. And even when I said, "Come, let us pray," there were many who hesitated. What could be so wonderful in your life, and how perfect could your life be that you don't need prayer?
Come on, Pastor.
The Bible says that we ought to always pray.
Yeah.
To pray without ceasing. And so I walked away from that, and those revivals, some of them were 5 nights long. That's a lot of revival. 3 nights is plenty nowadays. But I got home every time and back to the hotel on a few occasions, and I said to myself, something's happening. And it's not good. There is no other name, is what the writer says. Luke helps us by saying there is no, that nobody else can help us. None loves us so much that heals our soul's diseases. Y'all remember that song? There's nobody like God. No, nobody cares about us like God. And we're in a struggle. We are fighting for our very lives. Our sons and daughters are going to pay grave prices when there is no salvation in the land, when there is no reverence for God, when there is no worship. Our worship services are no longer like they used to be. We've been very fortunate here in the last few weeks. We've had what we typically call high church. You know, we've had some shouting and some jumping and some moving, and that's kind of where I want to keep going. That's why I was reading past chapter 4. I wanted to keep that going, and I thought to myself, man, let's do that one more again. But I got stuck at verse 12. And I said to myself, somebody's going to have to answer for this. Many of you that have televisions, you've noticed there's a Burger King commercial that's running now. I laugh at it. It's kind of funny. The 2 guys sitting at lunch, I suppose it's lunchtime. It looks like it's daylight outside in the background. And they run down the checklist. And the guy says, "Whopper, Whopper, fries, fries, drink, drink, $10. And the other guy says, "Somebody's going to get fired for this." What he's saying is, this is way underpriced. And somebody's going to have to answer for giving away food at $10. And that's where I came to verse 12 and found myself saying, somebody's going to have to answer for this. We are in a struggle. Our churches are not growing. Our disciples are not getting stronger. We are falling off. And no one seems to have a sense of urgency. And I thought to myself, there's a simple solution to solve this struggle. We must see Jesus. Now see, y'all just gave me more input than y'all realize. When I said we must see Jesus, we should have had a shout go up in here. That's a problem. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No sweeter name than the name of Jesus.
Well.
No sweeter name I know. My pastor told me when I was about 15 years old, Reverend Muriel, and I think he spoke as a prophet unbeknownst, he said to me, "Young Mitchell, you will know that the church is in trouble when the name of Jesus is uttered and there is no response." I'm 55 now. My pastor has long been gone. That's a problem. Especially when we sit in the house of whose name the house is driven. Amen. Last night, I had the privilege and also the heartache. If you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, you always have both privilege and heartache. I had the privilege of watching the Dallas Cowboys play the Los Angeles Rams. The first game in L.A. Stadium with the Rams as a football team in many a year, and the fans were ecstatic. Initially, they offered about 70,000 tickets for sale. They had to add another 10,000 tickets, and the place was euphoric. They were hooping and hollering, and the cameras were panning, and folk were waving and jumping up and down all four quarters. The game lasted 3.5 hours, about average for a football game, about 3 hours or so. And every time that camera panned, you saw folk lifting up their jerseys and throwing up their Cowboy fans alike. Even when the Rams were losing, their fans stayed happy. I'm sure they were selling stuff that made them happy.
Well,
it's called concessions. Maybe we should open a concession stand in the church. But I thought to myself, you know, I was sitting there watching, and I said to myself, no matter what happens today, they will remember they celebrate.
Yes, sir.
Because they ultimately won the game, and that's how it is when you're a Cowboy fan. Yeah, we just give me a moment. Okay. But I thought to myself, if they can do that, they paid to get in there. They drove great distances. But they were celebrating their team. Even when they were losing, they were celebrating their team. You may not realize it, but you were being set up earlier when I kept calling you a winner. Y'all didn't know it was tying into my sermon. I knew what I was going to preach. You didn't. But that's why I kept telling you, you're a winner. Remember, I kept telling you, you got so much to be excited about. Even when you think you're losing, you're winning. Because you are under the name of Jesus. You are the children of God. Your father is a prince of princes, a king of kings. He has everything, anything. All you need to do is ask him, and there are nations that will long to be identified as you are identified. It's not what you have, it's who has you that makes you celebrate. And the name of Jesus is worthy of every praise and every shout and every dance and every song. There's nothing too much to do. There's nothing you shouldn't do, because Jesus is alive. And that's your solution.
Amen.
There's an old song that you sang in the church, Jennifer, that says, "Turn it over to the Lord, and he work it out." And there's a line in there where they say, "Won't he work it out? Won't you know?" And that's why there's power in that name. Wonder-working power. In the name of Jesus. And there's a problem. There's a problem when he who is the sovereign is not celebrated as such. We don't have to wait for the season to change. We can shout now. We don't have to wait for the test results. We can shout now. We don't have to wait till we get to Zion. We can shout now. We don't have to wait until the storm has passed. We can shout now. Because we are under the name of Jesus. But here is, and I'll go. Here it is. Please understand, there is no other name.
Well,
what are you looking for? What are you waiting for? And the day that you hear his voice, you are told, warned, admonished to not harden your hearts. Don't be stiff-necked like your foreparents. Don't be difficult. Jesus asked this question even of those who were intimately entwined with him. He said, who do they say I am? Mm-hmm. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, don't get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted.
Jesus is not the cosmic bellhop of all of your whims and wishes.
Yes.
It amazes me how we can ask him to give us stuff.
Well,
but do not feel it right to give him everything. Amen. Our worship, our servitude, our life is in Christ Jesus. Nothing should be too much. As I said to you on many occasions, you'll go out and spend $400 to buy a PlayStation. You put your children in Jordans and LeBrons and don't teach them to tithe.
Well,
you don't come to God and tell him thank you. You would bust your child upside the head, they didn't tell you thank you. You've invested $400 and they take the game and run down the hall. You say, hey, didn't you forget something? Oh yeah, how many games you bought me? No, you forget something? No, you didn't say thank you. Oh, thank you. No, that ain't good. I'll bring that back. I grew up in a time where you had one step, one half turn, and if you didn't say thank you, you got hit in whatever part of the body was closest to the reaching ability of the person that you were serving, and they took back. They didn't go hide it. They took back. And I'm saying take back. They took back to the store and made you go with them and watch them get a refund. And said, I bet you learn better next time.
Yes, sir.
I've been laughed at by clerks from Woolworth to J.M. Fields because I didn't say thank you quick enough. I started doing some preemptive thank yous. I'd say thank you and didn't have nothing. They said, what are you saying thank you for? I believe you're getting ready to do something. No other name. And so, the solution, we can solve it by remembering this, that salvation is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And if you're not saved, mm-hmm. you're going to hell.
Well, amen.
See, now, no complication here. I think that somewhere along the line, we have created a far too great entertainment value mm-hmm. in our churches. I think we've made it where we are so accustomed to jumping and running and flipping over and doing what that boy did a little while ago that we take our eyes off of what's really important. We came to see Jesus. No, you see, y'all miss it. We listen, it's wonderful. We got a pretty good choir and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of nice in here. We painted and made it look nice. We put my sign back up, and we got stuff like this, and that's okay. But none of that matters.
Amen. Well,
without this.
That's right.
That's why when they open the book, Ezra's rendition of the matter is the folk cry.
Yeah.
And he said, what's wrong with y'all? This is a good day. They said, we haven't been doing this right. We are so sorry, God. And you know what? We ought to do that now. Some of us ought to fall on our face and say, I haven't been doing this right.
Well,
I haven't listened to him attentively. I haven't given him his proper praise. I should have shouted when the Lord got me out of that court case.
Well,
I should have ran down the aisle when the Lord took that sickness out of my body. I should have jumped up and down when I got that little piece of job. I should have turned and flipped and ran and high-fived my neighbor when my life finally turned around. But I didn't do right by him. But God blessed me today. Now that I got my mind right, now that I had a minute to think about it, God, I owe you a more excellent praise. I owe you high worship. I owe you a hand wave. I owe you a shout. owe you everything.
Yes, sir.
Because if it had not been the Lord,
Hear me well.
Let me make it clear. I'm not asking you to get excited about none of that stuff. I'm talking about your salvation. Because if you ain't saved, don't none of it matter. You can drive the finest car. If you ain't saved, it don't matter. You can live in all the square footage you can cover. But if you ain't saved, it don't matter. No other name. That's the answer. Salvation is the answer. When a people are saved,
yes,
we all benefit from that.
Come on.
That's why the Bible says don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Don't get twisted up with folk who don't love God like you love God.
Well.
Don't get involved with people who are wayward and renegade spirits and defiant. Don't get caught up with folk who suffer from the dreaded disease, Sundayitis. What is Sundayitis, Pastor? They go some Sundays. I just decided I wasn't going. I just didn't feel like it. It's the itis. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, don't get the itis.
Don't get it.
I know that's not grammatically correct, so Scott, you about to pass out. But here it is. I'm about to. Here it is. The writer says people call on that name,
yes,
to save them. And here it is.
Yes.
We don't call on the name of Jesus for stuff.
Come on, Pastor.
Can I tell you something? You will never have all the stuff.
Never.
All you'll ever have is some stuff. And none of that stuff translates from this side of the river to the other. Nobody comes out of the cemetery carrying stuff. Lazarus was brought back. All Lazarus had on him were rags. Lazarus didn't have none of the stuff that this life had afforded to him. And it sounds to me that Lazarus had a pretty good life, you know, but the reality for us is people call on that name. And here's what we must now do. And I'm done. You can go. What's that?
Three?
No, I got to do it at least five times.
Yes, come on.
That's three. Please understand. You call on that name for a lot of reasons.
Right.
My question in this hour is, did you call on that name for the only real reason? Thou should not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Because you're in trouble. Woo! Jesus. See, we call it name. Not your name, sir. We call it.
Oh.
Yeah. Woo, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, sir. Lord, it's so hot outside. You call on the name. Woo, Lord, we about to die up in here. You call the name. Lord, these children drive me crazy. They don't go back to school. They going back tomorrow. He hears and answers the prayer. But did you call on that name for the right reason?
Well,
Lord, if you get me out of this, I ain't coming back down here no more.
Oh, Lord.
He gave it away. But did you call on that name? This is what he says. He said, listen, there's no other name to call that can save us. You remember that song we sang? There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not right. This is the name. We are Christians because we affiliate, identify, recognize, and are in relationship with the Christ. Let me tell you, let me help some of you church renegades, rabbits, and church changers. You are not Christian because of the pastor. You're not Christian because of the people on the pew. You are Christian because you identify and are in relationship with Christ. Don't leave Christ.
because you got issues with people. Stay right there at the foot of the cross. The name.
Three particulars, homie. There's power in that name.
Yes.
There's power, and that's what we use. Not abuse, but that's what we use because there's power in that name. That is the operation of the gospel.
Yes, sir.
The operation of the gospel is the power that is in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That's why Paul said that at the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That's the operation of the gospel.
Yes.
The operation of the gospel is not houses, cars, jobs, travel, get me out of trouble. Oops, I didn't mean to get caught. That's not the operation of the gospel. The operation of the gospel is the power of God. That's why the writer says, in him you live, you move, and have your being. That's the power of God. No other name can do for us, has done for us, and will do for us what the name of Jesus is doing now. Now God is with us. 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 There's power in the operation of the gospel in the name of Jesus. That's why demons behave themselves. Don't call that name. Those pigs, the owners, had no clue what was going on.
Yeah.
But when Jesus shows up,
yes,
and they recognized that's Jesus, they said, sir, we out of here. And if pigs got sense enough to know, you can't mess with that, then human beings, such as yourself, ought to know this ain't nothing to play with. This is the power of God alive among us. Emmanuel is more than just the name. It is God with us. Why is he with us? Because we can't do it by ourselves.
Amen. No way.
Why is he with us? Because we can't do it by ourselves. We ain't gonna make it by ourselves.
Yes.
The operation of the gospel is in the power that is the name of God. That's how we function. I've got one more. That's how we function.
Uh-huh.
Function under that name. The Lord said, listen, get ready to leave y'all now. I got to go. He said, but going forward, from now on, ask in my name.
Yeah.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost said, I'm confusing y'all when I point at me. So take that back. Ask in my name.
Yes, yes.
It's powerful. That's how we function.
Amen.
When they queried Jesus, got a little challenging with him, he said, I'll do what my father told me to do. He said, I wouldn't do it any other way. How many of you can testify that going forward, that's what you're going to remember, that you can't do it no other way?
Well.
Ain't no other name you want to use. So the next time when the devil raise up on you, just use that name. Next time when you're fretting and can't sleep, just call that name. Next time when you're waiting on the x-ray, waiting on the verdict, waiting on an answer, just use that name. Rest in the name of Jesus. Rejoice in the name of Jesus. Be renewed in the name of Jesus. Get your power back in the name of Jesus, because there's power in that name, and no greater name is there than that name. That is the creme de la creme. That is the top of the rung. Nothing is higher than him. That's how we function. That's why they sing that song that I wrote this morning. I didn't have no doubt. I knew the Lord would bring me out. That's why they said when my feet hit the floor, I didn't say, oh Lord. I said, hallelujah, Jesus. I'm moving by the power of God.
Yes, sir.
Now, whose name do you do these things? He said, the name. Amen. That is the name.
Amen.
By whose authority do you do these things? By the authority that is authority.
Yeah.
Jesus never shied away. That's how we function. And then Then finally, that's where our faith is.
Yes.
It's in that name.
Yes.
Our faith is in Jesus. Yes. And that's why the Bible reminds us that to each of you has been given the measure.
Yes.
How many of you have ever been around heavy-handed cooks? Well, y'all know what a heavy-handed cook is.
Yes, sir.
Anybody know what a heavy, two or three of y'all know? You know, a heavy-handed cook is a good cook, but when it comes to salt, everybody at the family reunion know who made these collard greens. Because as soon as we tasted them, we had vision of that Morton Salt girl. Walked by going, gotcha.
And it rained and poured.
We know heavy-handed cooks. Always too much salt.
Amen.
You know, who made these on Essie? How you know? Taste them. Salt in everything. Sweet potato pie got salt in it. Candy yam got salt in it. And they had another taste. A little salt in everything make it better. Not when your mouth go like this. Heavy handed. And so we know the measure of people.
Yeah.
By their faith. Y'all missed it? Y'all didn't see it coming? Some of you have a little measure, but it's still faith. You thought I was going to knock it down and break it up for you. No, it's still faith. You may not have a heavy hand version of it, but you got your faith.
Amen.
To each has been given a measure of faith. Now, here's why that's important. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if you don't please God, that starts to diminish the power, not in his life, but in your life. Because if you doubt him, you know, that old song we sing, all old school saints know this one. Sister Laura, Sister Nowland, Sister Arnita, you know it. Let's see who else. Oh, Sister Doris, you know it. Sandra, you know it. Sister Barbara, you know it. That old song you sang.
And you had to have a step with it.
Listen, that's the measure of our faith.
Yes, sir.
That song will start out kind of like I was going to do. One person will get up, and before you know it, folks who knew what they had, they got on that song.
Yeah.
They were going to never be in the choir, but from where they were sitting, I'm saying this one.
Yeah.
Because they knew the measure of their faith in that name.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And nothing would ever be able to take from them the faith that they had.
Yes, sir.
And that you can't take me down. You said, I don't care what happens. I don't care if I lose my job. I don't care if I'm laying up in a hospital. They can say I got cancer, diabetes, arthritis. You can't make me doubt it. You can take away the money. You can take the house. You can take the assignment. But you can't make me doubt it, because I know too much about it. There's something about that name that makes my life whole. It's in him.
Yes, sir.
There's no other name. And so it is. There is no other name. So how do we solve the problem? We use the name. But not for stuff, but to save a nation.
Yes, sir.
To save a people, we carry forth the name of Jesus. Back in the days of combat, Scott knows this one, some history teachers know this one. Constantine was one of the great warriors of time. He used the cross.
Yes.
And inscribed on his cross was this: in this name we conquer.
Yes.
He knew the power of the cross.
Yes.
He wasn't really a Christian, so to speak. Had some might debate, but he knew cross before us.
Remember that old song you sang?
Yeah, the cross before us.
Y'all don't know nothing about church. Where the old church folk at? Y'all don't remember that song? No turning back. Y'all remember that song? Yeah, the cross before us, the world behind. Okay, stop right there. Because some of y'all doing the Milli Vanilli version. Y'all waiting on the part that y'all didn't know, the no turning back, no turn. But here it is. I'm done. Here it is. Thank you. All y'all up for review. Here it is. Please understand, salvation is what we need now more than anything. We're driving better than we ever drove. We're dressing well, you know. We're looking pretty good. We got fitness plan. We got all manner of things. But listen to me. We're lacking salvation. Here's what the writer said. Let the redeemed of the Lord say. Nobody's saying, y'all get out there. Y'all advertise. Y'all call that thing what it is in Christ Jesus. But the redeemed of the Lord ought to be the ones who make sure the world knows there is no other name.
Yes, sir.
There is no Oprah heaven. There's no Dr. Oz heaven. There's no other name. The question then remains is simply this, and I'll be done. I've had some fun. I got my happy on. I don't know about y'all. The question is, do they want to be saved? Is there even an interest among men and women concerning the salvation of Jesus Christ? If 80,000 people will go to a football game, why is the average congregation in America down to 75? Why? Listen, down in Jacksonville, where I grew up at, they have a football team down there. The majority of churches have altered their worship services on home game Sundays because people won't come to church. Now watch this. Here's the kicker, Deacon Walker. The NFL starts no football game before 1:05. Why should you have to change an 11 o'clock service for a 1:05 football game? Because we would rather go out there and drink Johnny Walker, Jack Daniels, beer, Budweiser, Michelob to get ready for the game. Tailgate, we call it. On Sunday morning. And these are the same people that no matter what time you start church, can't get there on time. But you'll go to an 8 o'clock tailgate party on the Lord's Day and say, woo, and stand out there in the rain and in the cold. But if it rained, we ain't going to church that Sunday. If it's cold, we ain't going to church that Sunday. But these are the same people that walk around in their pocket with money inscribed, "In God We Trust." No other name. But do they want to be saved? These are the same people that have prayer at the football game. These are the same people. Do they want to be saved? How do we get the power of God back on top? We begin to practice as we preach. We begin to promote the gospel in every facet of our lives. We make sure that that name goes before us. There is no other name. You'll be in the hospital someday. You'll want to hear that name. You'll be driving along the highway and somebody's going to do something in your lane or come another way and you want to hear that name. You're going to stand before judges and magistrates. You're going to want to hear that name. You're going to lie down at night and pain's going to rack your body. You won't be able to call for the elders or the deacons or the pastor, but you'll need to recite that name. But
you need his salvation. Save us. Summer is coming, gone, and the time is well spent. We are not yet saved. And I would encourage you today to know that there's a simple solution to solve the problem of the struggle. We must preach Jesus. And for your sons and your daughters and your husbands and wives, your family, for those who you encounter, I wouldn't want to work on a job and folk ain't saved. Amen. If you've ever hung around me, you know this to be an absolute truth. Everywhere I go, anywhere I am, I ask everybody, are you saved? What church you go to? We were in the restaurant last Sunday, my wife and I and the kids, and a young lady was waiting on us, and I give everybody a hard time in a jovial way. And I asked her, you saved? And she said, oh, yes, sir. And man, she went to talking, we couldn't shut up. Once we got talking about Jesus, and she rolled, didn't she? That young gal with the bouncing and flipping and turning. And I'm saying, what did you drink before you came out here? She forgot all about going to get my hot tea. I had to stop. I said, hey, you on the clock. I asked you for some tea. Oh, I forgot all about it. I know. But we start talking about Jesus. She was telling us a whole plan. She said, me and my boyfriend, we're going to go do mission work, and we're looking for a church where we can do it, and we're going to get there, and we're going to have it. And I said to myself, she out-talked me. That's hard. But she was talking about Jesus. And my wife and you know, church folks signify. See, that's why the service was so good. Y'all ain't paying. That's what I told them. Y'all ain't paying. But she was. You could tell she had a disposition. The name matters. And so it is, love God. There's a simple solution to the solid struggle. We must preach Jesus for our sons and our daughters. This is where our power lies. This is where our purpose is defined. And this is where our promise will be delivered. That was going to be the things that I was going to talk about, but I got excited otherwise. I'll maybe use them another time. This is where our power comes from. Yeah. This is our purpose. And this will fulfill our promise. Because we have that name. God bless you. We're not going to stand just yet. We're going to do something a little different. I'm going to give the invitation, but I want all our young folk after this invitation to kind of be ushered forward. But if you're in this room today, you don't have to stand just yet. We're going to do something a little different. We'll be gone in a minute. But if you're in this room and you've not accepted Jesus Christ, if you don't know that name in salvation, you know that name on your money. You know that name in certain instances of fear and trepidation. You know that name when you were in the hospital. You know that name. But do you know that name in salvation? My question to you is simply this. Will you accept the Lord's salvation today? Will you be saved? Pastor Mitchell cannot save. Reverend Muriel cannot save. The deacons cannot save. No need of moving to Houston, Albuquerque, or any place because those great men and women of God do not save. They preach salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. They preach Acts 4, verse 12. But I'm offering you today the Lord's salvation. I believe today that if you would accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, you are going to be saved. And it's not a long tarry, no motherboard required, no certain pew selection area required. Do it now and it's done. You will confess with your mouth and simply believe in your heart. It is done. You can leave here today saved. If you're saved, just raise your hand. Let me see. And I'll know we've got a good house. If you're already saved, just raise your hand. Don't be shy about it, which makes me think you're not sure. Grandma used to say that if you're shy, you ain't sure. Sure is another word of sure, Mrs. Scott. You know the derivative thereof. All right, you may put your hands down. Can you bring all our young people forward? If you're going back to school, back to college, off to a university or any place of learning, come forward at this time. Brother Jesse, you don't have to move. You're fine. All of you, come on. You know who you are. Don't be scared. It's going to happen whether you come up here or not. Oh, that bus coming. Yes, sir, that bus. They were out there washing them yellow hounds the other day. They coming. Amen. Come on forward, young people. God bless you. Come on, come on, come on, come on up, come on. There you go. There you go. You're going back now. It's all over but the crying. Mama said there'd be days like this. Amen. Amen. Deacon Walker, how do we do on the supply run? We need to do some more work. You're satisfied? Okay, very good. As long as you're happy, I want that to be an important thing. How many of you got all your school supplies? Okay. How many need some supplies? Anybody need anything? Okay. If you need anything, y'all see Deacon Walker. Stand up, Deacon Walker. See that man right there? Turn around, look back. If y'all run out of stuff, y'all come see Deacon Walker, all right? Getting running out of pencils and stuff, y'all come see Deacon Walker. Matter of fact, come on, Deacon Walker, up here and so you can be a part of this great moment with us. You guys, all of us have been where you are. We've been back to school and stuff. And y'all come on a little bit closer. Y'all scared or something. We've been back to school and we've had to learn. Your moms and dads have diplomas and certificates of learning and stuff like that because they went back to school. They kept learning. And you guys are the next generation of preachers and deacons and elders and overseers, church school teachers and church school leaders. Your parents bring you to church so that you can learn about Jesus. Now we're going to send you to school so you can learn about everything. Learn about physics and laws of inertia and what makes things go up and what makes things come down. But the principal told you a little earlier, Mrs. Sawyer told you, you got to learn how to read. How many of you read very well? Raise your hand if you read well. All right. Even the little ones raised their hand. That's good. You got to learn how to read because reading opens up everything. When you can read, man, you can go places that you've never traveled. You don't need a passport. You don't need a ticket. You can read. I lived in Hawaii once, and in my ignorance, when I first got to Hawaii, the guy picked me up from the airport, and on our way up to the barracks, I'm looking down all these fields, and all I see are fields, and nothing's tall, no trees. And so me, in my ignorance, I said, hey, man, where the pineapple trees at? He said, pineapples grow on the ground. I didn't know that. Never read about it. Never did any. I'm going to Hawaii. I'm looking for trees because I'm from Florida. Oranges grow on trees. Apples grow on trees. Pears grow on trees. In Florida, there are trees everywhere. But pineapples grow on the ground. Education is beautiful. Knowledge is power. Because when you have knowledge, you don't speak in ignorance. And you want to be able to speak with wisdom. We talked about that in Christian Academy this morning, how critical it is for instruction. Listen to your teachers. Don't be difficult. Don't be a hard learner. You don't know everything. Matter of fact, you don't know much of nothing. You're making it up as you go. That's why education is so important. Now people like Deacon Walker and myself, man, we can rattle off things. We know stuff. We go places. We read and we keep learning and we keep studying. Sean, I think, is our most senior disciple today. He's going back to college. He's going to be a junior now, right? He was where you are, but he kept learning. And someday, Sean's going to make an impact. He's a Hokie. Goes to Virginia Tech. It's not his fault. Florida State just too far away. But he's learning. And these are high school young ladies. And now you're going to middle school. You're stepping on up, man. Boy, that's wonderful, isn't it? A whole new environment. And so we want to pray for you and pray with you today. Because I believe could be a preacher among you.